Hey, Freo fans, welcome to our Instagram live series for the love of Freo. We're catching up with some of our profile Freo fans, and joining me on the screen, if you haven't guessed already, is radio host, presenter, and dedicated member of the Purple Army, Pete Corelli. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, mate. How are you?
Good. You've kind of come off air on your third day at your new breakfast radio gig, replacing the retiring Dean Clares, who of course hosts our Doig Medal every year. How are you finding the start of a new show?
Oh, look, really good. You hope to feel a certain few things when you dive into a brand new show with a new team. You hope to feel just very comfortable. You hope to feel like you're just hanging out with a couple of mates and just shooting the breeze. Radio is very different these days to what it once was. Once upon a time, it was a lot of prep work and writing scripts and skits and stuff like that. Whereas these days, it's more just a chilled conversation with a couple of friends. And it's certainly felt that way diving right back in, which is not that surprising. I'm a mixed stalwart from way back. People watching this, if they know, especially good, dedicated, long-serving Fremantle Football Club members would know Mix used to have the night mix requests and stuff like that. I used to host those shows. And then, of course, was on Drive with Lisa and Pete a few years ago, and have known Matt and Kimber for a long time as good friends outside of the studio, and now, thankfully, good friends in the studio as well. So, yeah, happy days, mate.
Perth Radio, you're all across it. We know that. But we are here for the footy. So let's go on to it. We're almost 2 weeks into a new year now, but season 2020, it was a weird one. What do you think of it?
Far out, flying by the seat of your pants, aren't you? Not just as a fan, but I guess as the Fremantle Football Club game day announcer as well. I had the benefit of being, really, really close to the club while all of it was happening. So, Kel, our dear Kel, who runs the game days as well as so many other things, shout out to you. You're an absolute weapon. Just being in touch with her every week, particularly through those initial weeks where the guys were hubbing before they came back over here to WA. And then it was, what was it, like 8 weeks in a row that we had at Optus Stadium.
Correct.
It was just good to feel like we were back in that stadium having games here at home in WA. So it was a really weird season. I suppose the people that I felt the most for was obviously the players, because the players were the ones that were having to deal with the upheaval of their family and friends and having to hub and all of that sort of stuff. And being able to occasionally chat to the boys along the way as well, it was actually quite difficult for them. But being the champions that they are, they put on a brave face and just dig their heels in and get stuck in, don't they?
Certainly do. It was a big year. Plenty of exciting things to come out of it. If you can pinpoint one or two, what excites you most heading out of 2020 as we enter this, well, hopefully as normal season 2021?
I guess I'd sort of bring that back to a couple of things that I'm hoping to see more of this year. Obviously, last year was a breakout year for Luke Ryan. Being on the Hit 92.9 show last year, Luke Ryan was our weekly Fremantle Football Club guest. So being able to speak to him week in, week out, though we were meant to talk to him about football and most of the time just wanted to know whether or not he's got a girlfriend yet, that was always a bit of fun. But seeing his breakout year was just extraordinary. And I guess I've got three things from last year moving into this year. Two was Brayshaw and Chera. Sarong, seeing that our midfield is really starting to mature and galvanize is really exciting as well. And that also means that I'm looking forward to seeing Fife up forward, helping out Tabana, lightening the load a little bit more this year as well. And I'm just really, really interested to see what happens with our defensive line, because obviously we're, hoping to welcome back Alex Pearce and Joel Hamling, who are just champions, and I can't wait to see it. But far out, we had an absolutely ripping back line last year, didn't we? So yeah, there's plenty of exciting stuff to come this year. And then, of course, geez, I know I only said two or three things, but these things just keep hitting me. I had the pleasure of calling out a few debutants last year, particularly for some big names and some big numbers. And Aaron Sandilands, obviously having retired the year previous, it was time for somebody to step up into the famous number 31. And that's seeing the excitement machine, Liam Henry, you know. So, yeah, I want to see a little bit more of him running around on the park as well.
I want to get to that, to your, to the pleasure that you have of calling out some names on game day, but we'll get to that in a touch. And good to have Luke Ryan. You picked a good year to have him. You did have a breakout. Maybe we should roll every player through this year, and we should probably credit you guys for the success of his year. Hey, let's go back to the beginning. How did you first become a fan of the Freo Dockers?
My family's in Fresh Seafood here in Perth. People who frequent sort of the Southern River, Canning Vale, Armidale areas might have, or even Midland back in the day, may have once or twice come across Corelli Seafood Markets. But we've been in the game for about, as a family business, for 30 odd years. So 1989 was when my parents opened their first store, and they actually opened it in the wool stores in Fremantle. And we were there as a family business from 1989 to about 1994, thereabouts, before we sold up and they decided to move on and do some other things in the industry. But throughout that time, I used to go down and watch the boys play at Souths, you know, and go and see the doggies play. So it kind of got ingrained to me there from a waffle point, like way back in the day, and I'm still a mad Souths supporter to this very day. But yeah, like it was that, and then, you know, being around Fremantle so much, when the team was first coming and they announced that, hey, WA is getting a second town, Fremantle Football Club, obviously, because I'd had so much life there, I was like, damn, this is the team for me. Like, I was really excited. There's one other thing that I really remember, and I don't know if this was really the catalyst for me to become an absolute diehard Fremantle supporter, but it was 1994, I think it was, because obviously the guys joined the competition thereabouts. And I remember being in year four at St. Joseph's in Queen's Park at my school. And we actually had a competition, and I think it might have been statewide. I don't quite remember, but I think it might have been statewide to actually design the Fremantle Football Club jumper.
Nice.
Yeah, and this is where I'd love to tell you that the initial green, purple, and red with the white anchor, that was my bright idea. No, it wasn't. Uh-huh. I don't even remember to this day what it was. But I think just actually being able to actually be a part of that creative process as a kid, and, you know, them come into it when I was in the prime of starting to get into football and stuff like that, just galvanized my support for the club. And it's been a, as I'm sure you can appreciate, a yo-yo, maddeningly love-hate relationship with the success of the club ever since. So, yeah.
I think I'd be dumb not to ask what your submission was. Do you remember for the Freo jumper, what you went
with? Oh, God. Mate, I honestly couldn't tell you. I thought I was a real gun artist when I was a kid. And since then, like, I've been back to mum and dad's house and they've dug some stuff out from when I was a kid. And the perception that you have of yourself as a child versus actually looking back on your artwork when you're a lot older, yeah, it's miles apart. So I couldn't remember, but I can tell you it would have been absolutely terrible.
Well, we love the old school red, green and the anchor. So we're glad that that one got up. I'm interested to know this, Pete. Across the journey, we've had so many of them. Is there a favourite player to ever wear the purple for you? And why is that?
I've got a couple, right?
Okay.
And I've got a soft spot for Justin Longmuir, but and it's not just because he's come back as the coach and everything, but because I really, really remember that goal after the siren and then him running into the crowd, making the finals, all of that sort of stuff. Like, I remember that moment of the, you know, this, like, just the glove in the air and, oh, my goodness. So that sort of really got stuck into me. But, you know, I've been a Fremantle fan for a long time, and I'm a diehard fan of Matthew Pavlich, like, and it's probably the easy one to go with, But I dare say it's the only one I really can, because the guy has just been a legend of the club. He's been such a great stalwart of the club. You can see that he bleeds purple through and through. He's such a champion. He's played every position imaginable and been a champion at those positions. And I just don't think any other player in the history of the club stands up to the great Pav.
Pav is a common theme when I ask this question, but how could you not? How can you not love the great man? And you mentioned Justin Longmuir. I wanted to touch on him too. He enters his second year in the top job. From a fan perspective, how did you find his first year in the role and the way he's coaching this young team?
Yeah, it was a tough year to have your first year, wasn't it?
Definitely.
You know, all of a sudden, you know, if the rigmarole of having your first year wasn't bad enough, hey, let's throw COVID on top of it. And then let's throw, you know, no crowds on top of it and a completely new way of doing things and hubbing and all of that sort of stuff. You just can't fault what the guy has done with the club in 12 short months. And I guess it's a little bit romantic, but I love the idea of the former champions being at the club and guiding the club into its next generation. You know, the fact that you hear about the Carr brothers and Joshy being around the club and all of that sort of stuff. Like the more the merrier. I just love it. But J-Lo has been a breath of fresh air for the club. He looks like he's brought a lot of great knowledge. He looks like he's tried different things as well, and he's trying new things. And I think one of the things that I really enjoyed seeing from the boys last year is that they just looked like they were out there to run around and start enjoying the game again. And I think we're really going to find our spot if they keep on doing that, especially with him at the helm.
It's great to have him. And as well as interviewing the likes of JL on game day, you've interviewed plenty of players across the journey, whether it be on radio, whether it be on match day. Are there some that stand out who you've really enjoyed chatting to across the journey? And yeah, some of your favourites in that field?
Lukey Ryan's a character. Without a doubt. He's a funny one, Luke. Like he's a real tough nut to crack.
Yes.
When you start off sort of interviewing and talking to him. And then once you start to scratch away that tough exterior, there's a fair bit of cheek to him. Who else really? I mean, I've had the pleasure of interviewing the likes of Fife out on the field, like when we've had some, you know, massive wins and they're like, you know, I actually remember the first time that I interviewed Fife and Kel came up to me and said, all right, so the person you're going to go to. So for those of you watching, what happens is on game day, if we have a win, a great win, we're going to get out there afterwards and we're going to go and grab one of the players. We're going to interview one of the players for Optus Stadium for the crowd that's there at home. In this particular time, she said, we're going to get Fife. And I was like, okay, great. This is awesome. It's going to be great to meet Fife for the first time. I just remember walking up to him. And it's funny, when you're in the crowd and you're looking down on them like this, like they look tiny. They look like ants, right?
Uh-huh.
And so I'm looking down like that, just getting ready to go. And as I get closer to him, it just goes from that to this. Like, wow, okay, you are a giant of a human being. And then he put his hand out to shake mine, and I swear to God, my knuckles are still broken from it. Like, the guy's hands are just monstrous, absolutely monstrous, but just a really good bloke.
If you can believe it, he's looking even bigger and stronger this preseason. So
maybe we're there. I'm glad. That's what I want to hear. Yeah.
Good. And now, Pete, you're a big deal in Perth. I saw your face on the back of a bus yesterday. That's how big you are. but a lot of our fans would recognise you, as you've mentioned, as our on-ground announcer. Can you talk to us about that? And I'm sure you can answer this in many ways, but what do you love about it? What do you love about being out there and getting on the mic around Optus Stadium?
The simple answer is the energy from the crowd. You know, one of the things that you hope for as a ground announcer talking to that big an audience is that when you put something out to everybody, you get something back. And I've done a few of those over the years, and every single game that I've announced for the Fremantle Football Club, the crowd is there and ready to rock and roll. And the thing that I've loved the most is We obviously do the big entrances. I've been to a few of home, like different home games for different teams around the country, right? Fremantle does it better than anybody else. It is the most exciting goosebump type of feeling on the day. And then when they said, we're going to put a mic in your hand, you're going to be the grounds announcer. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is exciting, dream come true. That's great. But I didn't expect to get the sheer amount of energy back from the crowd that I get on game day. Home ground, when we're running the game day for Derby, it just, the players always talk about how it goes to another level. You feel that from the crowd, especially when it's a Fremantle game. When it's a majority crowd for Fremantle, when it's a Purple Haze game, all of those really big special days, you feel those from the crowd as well. But the thing that I really look forward to every single time I step out there with a microphone getting ready is the build-up. The part where everybody's sitting around waiting for the players to actually come out from the race and onto the ground for the first time, and you give them a really big send-up, you know, and then they come out and they run. The pure energy you get from that cheer from the crowd is mind-blowing. You can't explain it. I can't explain it here. It's just something you have to be there and feel on the day.
It is incredible standing out there during a game after a big win, when the Purple Army are in full voice, which is practically always. It's a fantastic feeling. That's the positive side of it. Are there any, you've had the mic in front of your mouth for a while. Is there any stuff ups? Is there anything that comes to mind when you go, oh, geez, I didn't quite get that one right? Or any stories?
Thankfully, when you're in amongst a big crowd like that, you tend not to be able to hear if somebody might have called out a stuff up, which is really good, because I can tell you I've made plenty of mistakes. There have been a couple of times where I've done those intros where the boys are about to run out onto the race, and I've fumbled over a couple of words, and I've looked over at Kel or the team that's standing there at the time, and I've just gone, oh, no, please, 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 just make sure that's gone straight through to the keeper. The one thing I get really nervous about is occasionally there'll be a roster change that'll come through, like, really late, and we've got the big list. We do the Tab Touch 22. Where we read out the names, which I know you asked for the negative. That's another positive, right? Like reading out names like David Mundy, Nat Fife, Sonny Walters, and especially that day where we gave him a little bit more time and we said, and now making his debut in the famous number 31, Liam Henry, and just the crowd went, but calling his name out was a hell of a moment. It was awesome, right? But yeah, like you just hope to Christ that, you know, if there's a late change or something, you've got all the right information, because the last thing that you want to do is actually call out the wrong name and number. Yeah.
No, I remember that Liam Henry moment. It was very bloody loud. It was fantastic.
Epic.
And as you would know, we do plenty of games, giveaways, promos and the like at the stadium. Is there one that sort of stands out as some of your favourite, you know, games or interactions with the fans?
There is one, and I guess it's sort of poignant given that unfortunately we've lost her recently, but because she was such a huge fan of the Fremantle Football Club and was so close to the club, I got the chance, thankfully, to meet Millie Lucas a couple of times. And for people who don't know who Millie Lucas is, she's the wonderful young woman who unfortunately passed away last week, and she's the one who went over to have the you know, the surgery with Dr. Charlie Teo, and she was going through extraordinary things, just fighting such a tough battle. But I got to meet her a couple of times, and the absolute energy and life that came out of that girl was extraordinary. So, you know, there are plenty of moments that happen throughout the season where it's very cool to be a part of everything, but I think to be able to have had the opportunity to meet her, it's just something that's going to stick in the back of my mind for the rest of my life, I think. And it's always going to be something that's going to be there when it's like, if I'm looking around at the crowd and I'm having a day where I'm not really feeling that energy or something, I think I'm going to be able to draw on that, because she was just extraordinary, mate. Really, really beautiful.
She had the biggest smile across her face that day that she came out and flipped the coin and got in the song at the end with Fifey. It was a fantastic day. And we're thinking of Millie and her family, certainly. Pete, to finish up on a personal note, I've got to say congratulations to you. You announced only about a week or two ago that baby number three is on its way. An exciting time for you
Thanks,
and your
mate.
Family.
Yeah, very exciting. It means that we've got three bites of the cherry in terms of getting one of them to be a Fremantle player one day. So,
that was my next question. That was my next question.
Yeah.
Is there talent there?
Yeah. I'm pumped, but I think there is. actually, you know, I'm going to tell you this. I haven't told anybody else this, right? My wife went and saw a psych. She never does this, but she went and saw a psychic about a month ago. I was just like, you know what? I've got a few mates that have done it. I'm going to go and do it. We'll give it a crack, right? And this psychic said that number three is an active little thing, loves to kick, which he or she, we don't know because it's a surprise, certainly does, is very active in the scans and stuff. But it's going to be a boy and will play for Fremantle one day. I kid you not. Those were the words that came out. Didn't know we were Fremantle supporters or anything like that. He was going to play footy. Might not have said Fremantle, but he's going to play footy. Maybe that's me just imprinting on that memory, wanting it to be in the purple. So might get one there. My eldest daughter, who's 4 and a half, Mila, she's a kind-hearted, gentle soul. So she'll probably be cheering from the sidelines, but we may very well have a very good chance with our second daughter, Isabella, because she's a brute, mate. She's not afraid of giving the fend off and the don't argue to her sister on occasion and running into me and tackling me every chance she gets. So who knows? If number three's a boy, we may get one in the girls' team and one in the blokes' team. It'd be a dream come true, but yeah, we'll see.
Well, if the psychic's correct, stay tuned, everyone, for the draft in 2039, 2040, whenever it is. We might be getting a Corelli in purple. Hey, Pete, thanks for jumping on today. I've enjoyed our chat. And to finish up, the series is called For the Love of Freo. It's what it's all about. It's a hard thing to do, but if you can sum it up in a sentence or two, just what do you love about the Fremantle Dockers Footy Club?
Geez, put me on the spot with this one. You know what? I don't think I've ever met a more passionate group of supporters than the ones at a Fremantle football club game and the ones at Fremantle. The cheer squad, shout out to you. The sirens, shout out to those wonderful women as well. All of the great people and the volunteers and all of that. But, you know, when you go to a Fremantle game, particularly those special ones or a Purple Haze game, you just feel the energy in the crowd. They are there, and come hell or high water, rain, hail, shine, win or loss, Fremantle people are passionate about the colour purple, and I just get sucked up in that energy. So, yeah, I love it.
We all do, don't we? Pete, thank you for your time and your thoughts today, and thank you to the Freo fans tuning in. It's been great chatting with you today.